I want to continue this morning on the armor of God, putting on the whole armor of God, and also somewhat tie in the Christmas story. So that seemed to come together in a message, and I think you'll see a beautiful part of this Christmas story and Ephesians chapter 6 and the whole armor of God. The title, I have several titles that you can pick. The power of the spoken word is the first title. And then the second title I thought of is These Things. And when I get to the verse in the Christmas story, I don't know if any of you know the verse yet, but I want to talk about the rhema of God, or the spoken word of God. And it is in Ephesians 6 where it says in verse 17, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And that Greek word is rhema. Now, I also love that word, and a word study is very helpful when you do a word study. These things, it is also interpreted, that's the Greek word rhema. These things is maybe a weak translation. When Mary said, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. That's where we'll tie in the Christmas story, where Mary kept all of these things, or all of these rhemas, or these words, and all the things that were happening in her life. She kept them and pondered them in her heart. And it's very, very powerful to study the story of Mary and how she responded to circumstances in her life. So the word rhema, the Greek word rhema, simply means the spoken word. In the New Testament, there are two different Greek words used to identify words from God, the logos and rhema. The logos is in John 1, "In the beginning was the Word," and refers to the person of Jesus Christ, who came and is described as the Word. And the rhema is a spoken word. It is the sword of the Spirit. And I love the picture when you think about putting on the whole armor of God. This one is very important, that all of us as soldiers of the cross and in battle, we're in a battle, but we have all that we need, and we have everything we need, and one of them is the spiritual sword, or you could say the spiritual sword as well is another title if you like that. But it is the Word of God connected to the Spirit of God. It is a sword of the Spirit. So this word means nothing to you if it's not connected to the Spirit of God. But when you have the Spirit of God inside of you, the Word comes alive, and the Word of God is referred to as the sword of the Spirit. The two go together. We're to take it and use it and to appreciate it. And I want to just share testimonies. I was thinking of so many testimonies that I could share about rhemas and the specific words that were so powerful. God speaks to us. He wants a relationship with us. And the Word of God comes to us at times when we need it. And it was 3 years ago, around this time in November, that Connie's father was sick. And Sunday morning, he was scheduled for surgery. And I was scheduled to preach. And we were planning to go after the service. And many of you may remember that. And go to the hospital. And Connie woke up and she said, I just feel I need to go to the hospital. You can preach and come later. And I didn't feel comfortable with that. So I called Matt and Brian and they filled in and we went to the hospital that Sunday morning and made a decision to go. And so on the way down, we were deep in thought and prayer, and I was thinking, asking the Lord for a verse to share. We weren't sure if he would make it through the surgery. His health was very poor, and he was low, and he had congestive heart failure, and he was having kidney failure, and also bladder cancer, and so everything was just hard. And on the way down, I was asking, we weren't sure if we'd get there before he goes in or not, but I wanted a word from the Lord. I just was asking for a word, and I was in prayer, and as you're driving, that's what it means by praying always, and you're just in an attitude of prayer. And the scripture came to me in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so that was the word that I was given to share with my father-in-law. And I did have that opportunity. As we were driving, Connie was meditating as well, and she saw a license plate that said Philippians 4, 6, and 7, I think it was. And she was wondering what that scripture is and meditating and asking the Lord. And when she was planning, when she gets to the hospital, look it up. And when I opened up, neither of us knew that the Lord was speaking to us both in the same way. And when I shared, we did get there, and I shared with my father-in-law the scripture, and we had a time of prayer together, and it was that same scripture. And it was just powerful to see God give us a word. And it was, I was sure it was a word from God. And that's the rhema, the sword of the Spirit. It can be a word that comes to you, that you share. And it's also, many times, it is also the spoken word. So the Word of God is powerful. And I want you to think about how powerful it is to speak and to claim the Word of God. Another testimony that I asked Connie if I can share this, and she said, I can share this. I think it was 2 years ago, or last year, I was asked to speak at Minister's Week, and the role of a deacon, and also serve on a panel there, and they asked Connie to speak to the women. And the verse that they gave her was, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And so that verse to both Connie and I, this verse is just so meaningful to us because of our experience. And for her, it was a difficult assignment, and she struggled a while till she accepted that. And it was a battle preparing, just the devil bringing thoughts of, you know, the occasion and all the ministers' wives and many people and all of that. And sometimes there is a warfare that goes along with speaking. It's why not every it is not easy to speak. It is a bit of warfare, but it's so powerful when we can, in faith, speak the word. And as she was preparing one day in a deep thought, she came to the verse in Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And she was meditating on this, and then she said it out loud with faith. And it was such a powerful, moving experience that it almost felt to her like something left, the spirit of fear left. And so that was her subject, is Mary pondered these things, which is the rhema of God, the spoken word of God. And so when you are going through things and God gives you a verse or God gives you a testimony, open your mouth and say it out loud with faith. It is powerful. And that's why Paul is saying in Ephesians, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Rhema of God. The Word is very powerful when we speak it. The spoken Word of God, the devil, steps back and recognizes the power of the Word of God. There can be many, many words that people say, that specific words, not always just Scripture, but I believe God can give a word to someone and you can share it with someone else. I told Andrea Morley's father, Gabriel Morley, was here, and when their family sang, Gabriel had a few words of encouragement. I don't know if it touched anyone's heart, but the word that he said was just of the Lord for me. He said, "Your reward is coming." And that was just of God for me. And some of you may remember it. Maybe no one else did. But that's how God speaks. It's the powerful word that ministers to our needs and our battlefronts that we go through. I also remember years ago when I was going through a struggle, Connie shared a verse with me. It was early in our marriage, from Peter. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings." I still remember that word. It was a spoken word of God, and it just was very timely. Jesus did that several weeks ago, our Sunday school lesson. Jesus three times faced the devil, and he came back with standing against the temptation with the Rhema of God. "It is written, it is written, it is written." So he had a word for the situation. I want to now go into the story of Mary and how Mary says in Luke chapter 2, it says in verse 19, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." So I want to now just share from the life of Mary and how she responded to her situation. She was called of God to bear the Christ child and give birth to the Messiah. What a calling and what a privilege and what an honor that is. I know there's a lot of people that take a wrong view of Mary. I want to have a balanced view. Once I saw a sign in a ministry window in a town that says, "Mary, pray for us." I received a pamphlet from someone recently that mentioned Mary is the sinless one. Mary is also referred to by some as the Queen of Heaven. There's some who have told me that they need to, and we need to pray to Mary to get to Jesus. And so there are some wrong views on Mary, even though I want to highlight the honor that it was for Mary and her calling. But I think there's many who are looking to Mary over Jesus, and she was the mother of Jesus, but we have clearly taught in Scripture that Jesus is the great high priest over the house of God. And we're invited to come to the throne of grace and come and pray to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive grace and mercy. So we have Jesus as the great high priest. Mary was called to give birth, and it was a miracle. She was a lived in an insignificant town. She was born into a humble family. And when you read of Nazareth, you think of a small little town, insignificant town that God chose. But there Mary was, I believe, very godly. She chose to follow God. She had high values. As a young girl, I picture her as being very devout and sincere and following the Lord and listening to God. And she was one who God could use. And I praise God that there was in this time faithful people within the Jewish nation or within the Jewish people. She was available to be used of God. She was about her daily work one day, and she was working. We don't know all the details around this, but we have the announcement where the angel was sent, Gabriel was sent to Nazareth, to a virgin, betrothed to Joseph, and she received the message one day. In Luke chapter 1, we have the story where the angel came to her, and I love her response. When the angel came, the angel said in verse 30, "Mary, thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." So that was the announcement that the angel gave to Mary one day as she was about her work. And I want to encourage everyone to be in tune with God so that when he speaks to us or shows up, if anyone has an experience to see an angel, what a privilege that would be. But I'm guessing you would stand back in a bit of amazement or fear, as most people did when they seen an angel. Many times an angel came with news or announcements that were hard, and that's what Mary's situation was. She responded in verse 38. Mary said unto the angel, "How shall these things be, seeing I know not a man?" So she was standing back and she was looking at how can this possibly come to pass? What is this going to look like in our courtship? How will I ever tell Joseph? Many thoughts probably went through her mind as she pondered this message, that this announcement the angel gave to her. And she responded with fear and apprehension, but she also responded with faith. Her call was huge. Her call could not be fulfilled by herself, and her purity and her innocence are clearly revealed. But she had many questions, as many of us do in life. We have questions about how will we ever make it through, or how will we ever carry out the calling that God has upon our life? And the angel responded with a word for her. And when Mary said in Luke chapter 2, she pondered all these things in her heart, all of these things, the whole story. As she looked back over it, in Luke chapter 2, the shepherds came and worshiped the newborn child and went out and told everyone. And it says that Mary pondered all these things. So she thought about all these things. She kept all these things and all of these things. This is one of the words that came to her that I want all of you to hear for yourself as well. I believe it's true for all of us. When we respond to difficulties or impossibilities, how will this be, or how will this come to pass? The angel said to her in verse 35, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing," or that holy child, "which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." The angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." And that happened to many people in the Old Testament, prophets. We read of them, those that are called to the role of prophet, many times the Holy Spirit came upon them and they began prophesying. Here, this happened to Mary. The Holy Spirit came upon her, and the conception was from the Holy Ghost, from God. And so she had to respond to this in faith, like we all need to respond to the difficulties in life, the impossibilities, and some of the things we face that look difficult. The Holy Spirit comes upon us as well. At conversion, the Holy Spirit is given to us. It's the promise of the Father that the Holy Spirit will live inside of us. And the Holy Spirit comes to us through our difficulties and through our pain and through our hardships. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the second thing that the angel said, the angel answered and said, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Verse 36, the angel announced that Elizabeth is also with a child in her old age. And verse 37 is something that one of these things that Mary kept. For with God nothing shall be impossible. That verse is on our wall in our living room. Many people come, want to talk about difficult things, and we sit down in the living room, and most times I look up to the wall and I ask them to read that verse. It's this verse. It was the angel saying to Mary, with God nothing shall be impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. I've had people look at that verse and they walk back in doubt and unbelief. And I've had people that look at it and believe it. And I believe that's the difference. If we look at this promise and we hear these things and we believe that, yes, with God nothing shall be impossible. God can bring a conception through the Holy Ghost to a woman who believes in faith and is called to bring the life, the Son of God into the world, and God can do anything. I don't know if you feel that you need the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you need the Holy Ghost, and I would like to say that we're to ask. The Father loves to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Many times we do not have because we do not ask. If you're going through a difficulty, I encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to come upon you. Ask God to show Himself strong in your life. Ask God to break the chains of sin in your life. Ask God to do whatever you're struggling with and respond to Him in faith. As Mary did, she kept all of these things. She heard these words and she kept them and she pondered them. All these words that were given to her. I'm sure many of you could share testimonies as well of words and that came to you. Specific word that you receive from God, which is a rhema of God. Maybe someone has a testimony just now to share of a time when God just came through like that in your life. It's powerful when you can share some of those stories. They're hard to go through. That week, when Connie and I were preparing for Minister's Week, it was a hard week. We look back at that now and we treasure that experience because that verse is just so meaningful, because God has shown Himself in a very powerful way to us. Mary, it says, she treasured up everything that she heard. And I want to encourage you all to do that, to treasure these experiences and just keep them as valuable possessions, valuable words and valuable experiences. And I want to encourage you to share them. It's powerful when you hear a testimony of someone else that God spoke to and was very real to. God works in our lives in very real and powerful ways. And it's good when we can share them. Had another experience like that just this week where I spent some time in prayer. And I have different places I like to go sometimes when I feel like I need to get away. And it's wonderful when God speaks very clearly. Connie had one as well just recently. We were in need of a school teacher, and it was getting close, and it was getting closer and closer, and God said to her that, do you remember when we needed a farm manager way back in 1999, I believe it was, when we moved up to Ray and Sue's place for 3 years? It was very short notice and quick decision, a very important role to fill. And one Sunday we came home from work, came home from church. That was not a rhema. That was a mistake. We came home from church and the oven didn't work and the food was burnt, and we had to call Martin Appliance out, and when they came out to fix the oven, she just felt led to share with them that we're looking for a farm manager. And he said, my brother is looking for that position. And that's how the connection was made. And it was just a week or two ago that Andrea said her sister Bethany is interested in teaching. And it looks like that is all coming together, and God is providing and fulfilling a need. But it's those experiences when God speaks, it is important that we share. And I think it's powerful when we share some of the words that come to us. Mary could have pondered on a lot of other things. She could have pondered and grew bitter about how God messed up her dating experience, her courtship. How God asked her to carry this undesirable tag, and how can I ever explain to everyone? And all that she had to go through, she could have complained about the long ride, the tax, and Caesar Augustus, and he, how would you ever expect a pregnant woman, great with child, to travel on a, however they traveled, and then there's no room, and I end up in a stable. And the Messiah needed to be born in a smelly stable. And she could have meditated on many, pondered on many of the bad things. But it says that she pondered on all the words. These things refer to the words of God and the words of the angel and the life-changing experiences that she had. Also, she spent time with Elizabeth, and they could relate to each other. They spent time alone, and they shared their hearts. And I believe that was so precious for Mary and Elizabeth to share, because they both could identify with what they were going through. And I believe it's the same thing for us. We can focus on some of the wrong things. We can sometimes ponder and keep and meditate and hang on to some of the hardships and some of the difficulties that we go through. Or we can ponder and meditate and keep the things that God says through it all, and see what God is really doing in our lives. She chose to focus on the spoken word of God and all the words. I didn't go through them all. If you have time to do that. We need to do brain laundry every day. Our brains are warehouses, and we store up whatever we allow into our minds and meditate upon. We have to take responsibility for that. We don't When we do wash, we don't put a burgundy shirt with or a black t-shirt with a white shirt. You know what happens? And sometimes we do that in our spiritual lives. We allow the thoughts that we shouldn't dwell on, and some of the difficulties we don't understand, and some of the things and circumstances in life that seem to be against us, but God's working through it all. And let's learn from Mary. She pondered all the words of God. She kept all of these things, and she is now a testimony and a powerful testimony for all of us how she responded to this situation. Philippians 4:8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and any praise, think on these things." And there we see the responsibility is ours to dwell upon good things and that which is good. And we do not ponder and keep all the negative thoughts or temptations that may come into our minds. Meditation is a powerful, we could spend a lot of time on meditation. David said, "I will, in thy law, I will meditate day and night." And the ones that turn away from the ungodly and the ungodly people and whatever are the ones who will dwell and meditate upon the Word of God and the law of God day and night. And it's described as a person that is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You'll be like a tree when you're meditating and dwelling and allowing all the words, all of these things, whatever they are for you, just let them come and dwell on them. Brian shared a testimony of how God worked through his experience, and him and I talked through that all, and there was a bit of uncertainty there and a little bit of frustration, a little bit of questions, and I responded back, "A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid." And you know, the testimony of Jesus shines, and that's who we want to be. And now you have a story to tell on how God works. I think we should do more of that. Meditate upon the words of God and keep all these things and hide them in our hearts and then share them, the spoken word of God. Whether it's a word spoken to you, or sometimes we need to just open our mouth and give people a word. I had the privilege of doing that. Sometimes I try to share my faith every day. I don't always, but it's one of the goals that I set. And it can be just a simple driving along the road and pulling up to the post office, and there's a man walking on the sidewalk, and I just said to him, "I want you to know how much Jesus loves you." It's not that hard to say that. He loves you so much that he died for you, and he gave his life for you. He took the punishment for all of your sins. And I never met him before, but he just stopped and he said, you will never know how much that means right now. And I had that experience yesterday. Just gave someone, just driving along, a red light. There he is, line right up. "Hey, sir," and never met him before. If the Spirit prompts you, just give a word. It's very powerful. It is part of the sword of the Spirit, and you may be the one that God uses to speak the Word of God and tell the world what God is doing in your life. Give them hope and give them a message, and just share whenever you have opportunity. It is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, or the Rhema of God. What a privilege it is if God can use you to share in that way with someone. Maybe someone has a testimony. I'm going to close. If you have a testimony to share, if the Lord lays anything on your heart, just a testimony. I know I've thought about this much more than you did, but it's important to just share. times in your life when the word just came at a right time and meant so much? Maybe a time when the word came and the devil stepped back and you just claimed the word of God in faith, the word mixed with faith. Anyone have a testimony to share before we close? Not, let's close. Go ahead.
When you sent that about the city on Settlement Hill cannot be hid, that was something that was encouraging to me. And through that time, there were unknowns. There was, like you said, a little bit of frustration. And yet, through it, I really felt at peace. And then that encouraging message as well. It's like, you know, I'm here to represent Christ. I am not hiding. And that was also just that's encouragement. And as you're sharing that, again, I felt a nudge to be more bold, to just drop words of truth or words of encouragement to strangers. You don't know what they are facing, and there is a lot of people. Just reminded again of the brokenness this world has, and there's a lot of people that don't approach, we don't know what the impact will be.
Thank you, Brian. Yeah, it can be a word that brings somebody into the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the powerful testimony of Mary and how she kept all of these things, all of these words, spoken words that she heard and pondered them and kept them in her heart. She didn't dwell upon negativity and hardships and many of the setbacks in life, but the power of the word, and nothing is impossible with God. And pray that we could as well dwell upon that which is good, experience the power of the word of God, the rhema of God in our lives, and go into battle with the offensive weapons that you've given us. Bless our church family, increase our faith. This Christmas season, draw our love and attention to Jesus Christ. And I pray that we could take that message to the world. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.